Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the second hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Quick programming note, it'll actually be the third hour of the program where we'll be doing a lot of discussion about Veterans Day with Tunnel to Towers Foundation, Frank Siller, founder of it, and a wounded veteran who has been the recipient of one of the smart homes from Tunnel to Tower Foundation. And I know so many of you have donated to that very worthy organization, but we'll just reflect on Veterans Day more in the third hour of the program. I got my time change mixed up there for a moment. I want to talk to you about the Biden administration economic situation for a moment, if we can. We'll also go back to the Rittenhouse trial and perhaps the fight, the showdown in New York City over whether BLM can bully the mayor-elect of New York to not bring back effective policing specifically targeted at violent criminals in the city. And we're watching the Rittenhouse trial as it continues to play out today. The defense continue to make a strong case here, and the smarmy prosecutor trying to make inroads against the defense self-defense case here. I think they'll continue to have difficulty, but we will watch that closely. In the meantime, the Biden economic situation's not good, folks. We're all very aware of it. And you can see that they're not going to change. They're not going to adjust based upon the numbers. Here was when the just a couple days ago, the inflation numbers came out. CNBC's Rick Santelli reacting in real time. Remember, he was actually the guy, some folks might recall this, who called for a Tea Party because of the out of control spending and the outrage about the bailouts and Wall Street and all that. It was Rick Santelli who said we need a Tea Party. And then people actually formed the Tea Party movement. I don't know how many people even recall that at this point, but I thought it's an interesting part of history. Here he is reacting in real time to the skyrocketing inflation situation.
On CPI, holy cow, hot, hot, hot. Even the headline is hot, up 0.9%, up 0.9%. And of course, that really is much bigger than the 0.6 expected. Year over year, CPI, 6.2%, 6.2%. That's the highest since October of 1990 when it was at 6.3%. And it's the sixth month in a row of 5% or higher. That began in June with a 5.0. You know, you could call it temporary, but it certainly doesn't appear that way in the real world.
You know, Clay, it doesn't feel temporary to people that are paying more for gas, for food, for rent, for housing, for everything. High gas prices, high cost of living, savings being eroded. This is the Biden tax on the middle class, on working folks across the country. And here's what's amazing about it. It's not going to get better. Their response to inflation, I mean, here's Joe Biden actually saying their response to inflation is more spending. If you would, sir.
Along with another plans that I'm advancing, this bill is going to reduce the cost of goods to consumers, businesses, and get people back to work, helping us build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out. That where everybody's better off. You know, I'm tired of this trickle-down economy stuff.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, he doesn't have any clue what he's doing. We're going to play a clip for you, unfortunately, of Biden getting his tongues all tied from the veterans ceremony at Arlington Cemetery today. But I went back and looked, Buck, because I was like, what was going on in October of 1990 that would actually make inflation have started to surge there? And that's the Gulf War. That's when the whole situation with Iraq and Saddam Hussein and oil prices, for people who remember, oil hit a record on October 11th. Back then, it sounds incredibly cheap now, but the record on October 11th, I was looking back historically because I was like, why would this number be so high going all the way back to October of 1990? Oil hit a record high then. Energy costs skyrocketed. That's why inflation went up so much in October of 1990, because Iraq had invaded Kuwait and there was a fear that there was going to be a massive issue going forward as it pertains to the cost of energy. And so that's why those numbers went up so high as you think about why we are at a 31-year high going back to then. But look, Buck, I know sometimes I get made fun of for this because I'm old school and I still read the print newspapers. I get the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal delivered to my house every single day. Front page of the New York Times today. They're not even ignoring it. It has going all the way back to 1985 what the rates of inflation have been. And the point on October 1990, Buck, was that almost immediately inflation came back down after we invaded Kuwait, after the uncertainty in the Middle East disappeared in the first Iraq Gulf War. Otherwise, there's nothing like we have seen in most of our lives going all the way back to Jimmy Carter. And I want to hit you with some of these different prices. I did this yesterday, but this is on the front page of the New York Times. These are how much prices have gone up compared to a year ago. Fuel is up 59%, fuel oil. Gas is up 50%. Car and truck rentals. Buck, have you heard people talk about how hard it is to rent a car right now?
I've actually looked into it for myself at different times recently. It's wildly expensive.
Almost impossible to do. Car and truck rentals compared to last year, up 39% in cost, which is unheard of. Utility and gas services, which is really going to start to hit a lot of people as it gets colder, up 28%. Used cars and trucks up 26%. Hotels and motels, if you are out there trying to find a place to stay, maybe for the holidays, up 26%. Beef and veal up 20%. And a lot of people are going to see this as they get ready for Thanksgiving. Bacon and breakfast sausage up 15%. Living room, kitchen, dining furniture 13%. Bedroom furniture 12%, eggs 12%,
yeah, a lot of stuff is more expensive. 10%. Pretty much everything you need is more expensive.
Point on all this is the Biden administration is giving everybody a default tax, and the tax is hitting people who have to spend their money to live. The most significantly, your wages relative to inflation are declining. This is a real tax on the people who can least afford to have their taxes go up.
And their response to this, which is what's so remarkable, because, yeah, you could argue these things. There are so many factors in the economy, and they'll say, oh, well, there was a lot of money spent under Trump, too. And they'll try to diffuse the blame for this in different ways. They're deciding to spend a whole lot more money at this point. They've already spent, you know, the $1.9 trillion earlier this year. We spend trillions of dollars the federal government has considered automatic spending. So this is additional spending. They want now a $3.5 trillion spending package on top of that. And they're obsessed with this idea of making energy, which is the lifeblood of our modern economy, more expensive. And that will affect that affects the price of goods, because people don't even realize this, especially the ones that are running around about, oh, you know, I drive an electric car, so I don't have a CO2 footprint, which is, of course, crazy, too. Half of fossil fuel, when you talk about gasoline, right, half of the price of crude oil goes into the manufacturing of products. It's not even just what goes into your car. So when these things are more expensive, when refining is more expensive, transport is more expensive, that makes everything worse in terms of the economic drag that we're all going through, people having less money to spend. But here's John Kerry going around doing the usual, oh, we need to get rid of those coal plants.
By 2030 in the United States, we won't have coal. We will not have coal plants. By 2035, President Biden has set a target that we will be, in our power sector, carbon free.
Clay, they want to make your dollars worth less, and they want to make your energy more expensive with your less potent dollars. This is the Democrat plan.
Not only that, they're making us dependent on other countries for our energy. That's what taking away our ability to create energy that is in this country. We were energy independent under Donald Trump. And so this is a failure of basic economic understanding. If you were in high school and you were trying to argue what the Biden administration is arguing, you would fail your economics final. Because one of the tried and true rules is that cost increases get passed along to the consumer. McDonald's has had to increase its prices. The dollar store cannot afford to call many of its product dollar pricing anymore. They've had to increase their overall cost structure because of how much they're having to pay to get the product into place. I've been on the road, Buck, and I'm fortunate. I get to eat in a lot of great barbecue places. Been talking to some of these barbecue owners. They're having to increase. I noticed a lot of them have their prices, and they'll put, like, they change the pricing on the wall, right? You know, what's it going to cost for pork? What's it going to cost for baked beans or whatever they're making? They keep having to raise the cost. My step, my step father-in-law, he owns a meatpacking plant in Michigan. The amount that he is having to pay in transportation, in cost, is through the roof. That immediately gets passed on to consumers because of what it costs for him to produce his product. And I think a lot of people who may not pay a lot of attention to this, Buck, for Thanksgiving, you may not go in a lot and buy a big meal that you're going to prepare for a lot of people. This is going to be the most expensive Thanksgiving dinner that almost anyone out there listening to us right now has ever had to get and prepare in their entire lives. This Thanksgiving, the costs are going to be through the roof, and you're not going to be able to find, unfortunately, I really believe this, some of the things that would traditionally be a part of your Thanksgiving meal.
And isn't it remarkable that it's happening when we're supposed to be enjoying the great Biden economic recovery? This is worse somehow. It's worse than when Donald Trump was still in office. We didn't have vaccines. We didn't, you know, we weren't as far along against the pandemic as we are. And we didn't have the supply chain snarls. And, you know, there were some panic buying of toilet paper, but the products actually kept flowing. Things were functioning in the economy better than they are under Biden. There are reasons for that. I mean, one of them is putting little commissars all over the federal bureaucracy who don't know what they're doing. And when they do know what they're doing is actually bad, but certainly don't know how to create efficiency and prosperity, the American people suffer. Clay, the only good news from this is that there's so much bad news that people are feeling about the economy. This is politically toxic for Democrats, and they know it. Inflation, high gas prices, high food prices, high rent prices. They can't run from this because people know, because they're paying the price.
I hope Joe Manchin is going to be willing to stand up and not allow this multi-trillion dollar Bernie budget bill to go through. There's certainly, he's been warning about inflation. I think he's been prescient. He's been proven correct. If we've learned anything, by the way, since 2020, nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black of Texas Superfood got us all hooked up with the original superfood. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, probiotic digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defense from the inside out. Dr. Black wants you to know your immune system's job, what is it? To detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with. Texas Superfood will boost your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma, she told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food out there, easy to grab, most people don't. So, Buck, how can people get hooked up with this safety net of Texas Superfood?
It's so easy, and you can start today. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Just go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call this phone number 855-TEXAS-55. Again, that's TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. It is Veterans Day. We're going to talk more about Veterans Day in the third hour of the program. We'll go hang out with our friends from Tunnel to Towers as they are spending the day honoring all of those who have given their lives as part of the War on Terror today at the Lincoln Memorial. They are honoring all those people. We'll discuss that with you in the third hour of the program. Joe Biden is out at Arlington National Cemetery today, and this is unfortunate, but the guy just can't even speak. And so you can imagine the reaction if Donald Trump had pulled this angle. Here's Joe Biden trying to honor Negro League pitcher Satchel Paige and totally bungling that read off the teleprompter. Here it is.
I know you're a little younger than I am, but, you know, I've adopted the attitude of the great Negro at the time, pitcher in the Negro Leagues, went on to become a great pitcher in the pros into the Major League Baseball after Jackie Robinson. His name was Satchel Paige.
So Biden, trying to say Negro Leagues, instead says he's adopted the mantra of the great Negro. Look, I mean, this guy just, as Thanksgiving gets closer, Buck, every single time it feels like we hear Joe Biden speak, he's deteriorating right before our eyes. And I bring up that this in conjunction with Thanksgiving because so many people out there are going to be, unfortunately, surrounded by someone at their Thanksgiving who is not in control of the mental faculties, not as sharp as they used to be. and we know what that experience is like. The difference is that person is not running the country. That is what is going on right now.
Joe Biden has always been a gaffe machine. Now, though, you add to that, he is a visibly declining gaffe machine.
Yes.
And it's so interesting that the media for many years, and you saw this particularly under the 8 years of the Obama administration, Biden would say things that for another politician, a Republican politician, would have been a scandal, a huge problem. You know, he said things that would be considered by the left to be insensitive, right? Depending, running the range from insensitive to actually pretty problematic. And because he's Joe Biden, it was, he's like the cuddly old, you know, crazy uncle, you know, he's the old grandpa. And this is just going to show that once again, they create narratives that are useful for them politically that are not rooted in what is true or what is obvious, certainly not rooted in what is fair to both sides or the way that they would treat Joe Biden if he were a Republican. And right now, his administration has really nothing to point to show success over this year. There's nothing that they can say, look at what a great job we've done on this issue. You were right to vote for me. Nothing.
And it's only going to get worse. I mean, do you feel, anybody out there, that Joe Biden's going to solve inflation? I was just talking about going back and saying, okay, why was inflation so high in October of 1990? Well, because the fear was that there was going to be a great oil shortage in the United States because Saddam Hussein had invaded Kuwait. What can you point to that is similarly going to be resolving itself? Five straight months, we've had inflation over 5% as it has continued to grow. Far greater in duration than anybody at the Fed said, than anybody in the Biden White House said it would be. What is going to occur that is going to make this better anytime soon? I can't see the Biden administration's economic policies improving any of the economic situation in the United States. In fact, worse if they poured more trillions of dollars in.
Fundamentally, right now, the people in charge of the federal government believe that they are better stewards of your capital, for all of you listening to this, they make better decisions with your money than you do. And I think that if you're looking for a root fallacy, if you're looking for the foundational wrongness, is that they think we'll spend the public's money better than individuals who make up the public will by being able to keep the value of their money. That's where the problems arise.
And they're totally wrong. And it's not just the economy, obviously. Inflation is a disaster. A lot of you can't get to work. COVID is rearing its ugly head again. The border is a mess. Murder rates skyrocketing. I don't feel like Biden can solve any of that. And his malapropisms over and over and over again are just seeming to be getting worse. This may be the easiest question of the day. How many days this week will you wake up in agonizing pain? It's really an easy question. If the answer is more than one day this week, let's see if we can help you get out of that. Our friends at Relief Factor have a 3-week quick start pack. You take Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for 3 weeks, and you'll know if it works for you. Hundreds of thousands of people have tried, including Buck's dad and my wife. 70% of them have gone on to order more. That's amazing odds. Relief Factor works for 7 out of 10 people. Are you one of those 7 who will live their life in less pain? You can try it out yourself. Join the more than 500,000 people. Order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That is an incredible offer right now. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF, $19.95, 3-week quick start. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4.
Corporal Benjamin Keith Brosh, First Lieutenant Jonathan Paul Brostrom, Chief Petty Officer Adam Lee Brown.
That's today at the Lincoln Memorial. Our sponsor, Tunnel to Towers, holding a special Veterans Day ceremony. They're reading the names of over 7,000 American service members killed in the War on Terror. They are reading those names off today. We'll be joined in the next hour by Frank Siller, the founder of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, about what his organization is doing for our wounded soldiers, for their families, for those first responders who lost their lives on 9/11, what's being done to help their families. And we'll also speak to a wounded warrior that has been assisted by Tunnel to Towers Foundation in the next hour. We will get into all of that. We are still in the early stages of what could be another surge here in COVID cases this winter. It's not really clear what the trajectory is going to be yet. And let me just say, Clay and I are both very hopeful that this is an incredibly mild winter when it comes to COVID cases and hospitalizations and deaths, obviously. It would be great if we were mostly out of the woods, so to speak. Are we? Well, depends on where you are, and it's still very early. Right now, Vermont, for example, has the highest caseload last 24 hours that it has ever had, which is interesting because now it's obviously a state with a pretty small population and has a very high vaccination rate among all states. And yet it is currently, think about this, it has had more cases in the last 24 hours than before there were any vaccines. Before, when the virus was just spreading freely during the surges, more cases in Vermont last 24 hours. That seems very strange. We've talked about some of the reasons, some of the possibilities of this. Meanwhile, here in New York City, de Blasio is declaring that New York City is one of the best places you can possibly be from the perspective of COVID.
New York City is now the safest place to be in the United States of America because you went out and got vaccinated, and because more people are getting vaccinated every day, because the mandates are working, and because now we can finally reach our 5 to 11-year-olds. This is really great news for the kids of New York City, for the families in New York City.
Clay, let's just put aside for a second the kids' vaccination push, which I think is reckless and crazy for them to be telling people that they should really do. You know, if you want to get it for your kid, that's your choice as a parent, but they're going to start making this mandatory for schools. Just a matter of time. But how is it then if the high level of vaccination is the reason for the current low case rate in New York, why isn't that also the reason then that we would expect very low case rate in Vermont, which we don't have? I feel like we're going to be playing this de Blasio clip in 60 days when New York is going through a surge and they're going to act like they weren't telling us this was because we masked up and got the shot.
Well, also, it's not true. Now, the state of New York is almost quadruple the rate of the state of Florida right now. I'm looking at the most recent New York Times state-by-state analysis of COVID infection rates. New York, they do it per capita per 100,000 people. New York is at 24 out of 100,000. Florida's at 7. So maybe New York City is wildly low compared to the rest of New York State, but the state of New York is moving up on quadruple the rate per capita of the state of Florida. And California is over twice per capita what the state of Florida is as well. And to your point on Vermont, I think we really have to focus on this because it's what's going on in a significant way all over Europe right now. Europe is seeing a massive surge basically everywhere. In particular, in for instance, Germany, which I believe just set an all-time high for COVID infections, and Germany was held up for a long time as one of the states that was doing the most incredible job of anyone in terms of how they were responding to COVID. But this goes to the ultimate fallacy that is being sold to us still by the by everyone out there in the larger universe of the media, which is if everybody were vaccinated, COVID would go away. That's still what the Biden administration is selling. And you can look at Vermont, which is over 90% vaccinated, and see that that's 100% a lie. And in no way, actually, look, 92% of adults, 91.2% of everyone 12 and over is at least partially vaccinated, yet Vermont has a 16,700% rise in cases in the past 4 months.
Something's going on, something that they won't really seem to address and try to be honest with us about why this rise is occurring. They'll say, oh, it's Delta, or they'll try to blame the unvaccinated. But as you point out, okay, so 8% of Vermont is unvaccinated, and somehow there's more spread among that 8% right now than there was among the entire population.
Yes.
Pre-vaccination.
It's a lie.
Not possible, right? Not the numbers don't add up for that. But there's other areas, too, where people are starting to say, hold on a second. What exactly are we trying to accomplish here? Schools that still have mask requirements for kids. People are saying, wait, so now we're going to get vaccinated children, We already have vaccinated adults if they want to be, at least in the schools. A lot of schools require it, too. But you're going to make kids keep masking after getting vaccinated for a virus that they are at almost no risk from and are very unlikely to spread on top of that. And you're going to get them vaccinated and you're going to still mask them. Here's the little fascist at the CDC, the chief, Walensky, saying, you know, maybe at some point we'll let you take the masks off. We'll tell you when.
We have over 95% of our schools open for full in-person learning. We still have about 85% of our counties that are in high or substantial community transmission. And so while I'm encouraged that numbers are coming down, I would say as our children are starting to get vaccinated just a week into this program, to continue to scale up our vaccinations for these children and to not yet get complacent with our mitigation and prevention strategies that are keeping our children in school.
So that means kids should continue to wear masks even if they're vaccinated?
And I would say masks are for now, but they are not forever.
They're when they decide, Clay, when they deign to tell you your child no longer has to choke on their own cloth covering all day.
And this is where I just keep asking, Buck, how do we land the plane? That's become the biggest question to me. How do we land the plane?
They don't want to land the plane.
I know.
They don't want to land the plane. They want the plane to touch down for a second to refuel so they can get the plane back up in the air next year and the year after that and the year after that.
The fact that they aren't giving us any tangible metric to say, hey, if the rate of an infection in the United States goes down to this number, then we will eliminate masks forever. None of it is being pointed to as any kind of way to actually resolve this issue going forward at all. I don't understand it. And you're right that it's a power grab that never ends. But the fact that media aren't asking, hey, give us some tangible metrics that would allow this to end, is a fundamental failure of our media as well to hold people in positions of power accountable.
Yeah. There is no vaccine against irrational fear, friends. We're going to keep running into that. Over and over again, there is no vaccine against irrational fear. There's no therapeutic either other than stop being a coward. Stop masking up kids. That would be step one. We'll come back into more of this. And like I said, we've got in the third hour, Tunnel to Towers Foundation founder Frank Siller joining us. We're going to really focus in on veterans, veteran issues. Of course, today is Veterans Day. So third hour of the program will go in depth on that. And we'd love to hear from some veterans, too, on our phone lines, 800-282-2882. And we'll come back to all that in just a moment. You cannot ignore the inflation numbers that we were talking about today on the show. I mean, the consumer price index jumped 6.2% from a year ago in October. That's the biggest reported increase in more than 30 years. And it just confirms what you're already feeling, you're aware of. The cost of gas, the cost of housing, the cost of buying and owning a car, all up big time. How do you protect the value of your savings account or your IRA? You do it with a purchase of gold. It's that simple and clear. That's the one investment that is consistent, stable, and enduring through the ages. These days, when you make an investment in gold, you can take possession of it. That's what I did with the Oxford Gold Group. They'll arrange for your purchase of gold to be delivered to your front door, and it's quite an experience when you actually look at that gold and hold it in your hands. I've gone through it myself. You can have real gold delivered to your home or have real gold as part of your IRA. All you got to do is call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group. Give them a call at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We were talking a lot and have been talking a lot about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial as it continues in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The judge, yesterday, his phone went off during the proceeding. By the way, usually if you are in a courtroom and your phone goes off, you are in trouble. The judge is not going to be favorably disposed to you, so it's probably a better sign that the judge had his phone go off. He's been a judge, by the way, for almost 40 years in the courtroom, has handled a lot of big cases there. But I thought this was interesting, and also, not surprisingly, the reaction perhaps even more so. Here is the judge's ringtone in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. See if you can hear what the song that is his ringtone is.
The actions that I had talked about.
proud to be an American.
Oh, dude, you gotta let it sit for a second, Clay. Some folks were gonna get it. I'm telling you, they're gonna get it.
I love Lee Greenwood, who, by the way, kicked off of, I think it's like the American Arts Council by Joe Biden. Did you see that? He'd been on it for 30 years, Lee Greenwood had, and they kicked him off of the council.
I was going to say, such a better song that people always think, oh, Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA. Springsteen is a rich commie, folks. I know New Jersey folks right now are going to get mad at me because they love the boss, but Springsteen has the politics of AOC. He has the bankroll of one of Jeff Bezos's top lieutenants, but he's a left-wing guy. So don't think of Born in America, you listen to the lyrics. That is not Lee Greed. This song, much better for those of us who love America. And I'd say this, the Judge Clay was appointed by a Democrat, in this case, but he doesn't, it seems like he's unlikely to hate America, which you see in the way that he's actually trying to protect the Constitution in that courtroom.
How crazy is it that when Proud to Be an American comes on, you know he's not a Democrat?
That's where we are.
Like, right? I mean, that's where we are as a country when somebody's ringtone is Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be an American.
Let me ask you this question. I would ask anyone listening to us right now to think the same thing. You're on trial. You're on a criminal trial right now. You're the defendant.
Yes.
Do you feel better about the chances of you getting a fair trial as a conservative if all you know about the judge is that the judge has an American flag on his or her porch?
I do.
Right away?
I do.
You feel like, okay, right. If they have a UN flag flying, you're in deep, you know what.
No doubt. I mean, and honestly, Kyle Rittenhouse, if the judge had a Black Lives Matter flag or a Black Lives Matter sign in his yard, I would be of the opinion that there's no way I was going to get a fair trial. But an American flag, I'd feel good. By the way, I think my dad's highlight of his life, one of them anyway, other than my sister and I being born and maybe marrying my mom, he was at the 1985 Sugar Bowl when Tennessee played Miami, and Lee Greenwood came out and sang Proud to Be an American at the Sugar Bowl down in New Orleans. And it is just a majestic experience to hear Lee Greenwood sing Proud to Be an American inside of a crowded stadium. My dad still talks about how incredible that performance was, and the fact that Lee Greenwood gets kicked off the Arts Council by Joe Biden. It got a little bit of attention, but it's just emblematic of many different Democrats hating people who love America.
Culturally speaking, people on the right are proud to be American. They're proud, yes, because of their association with America. They think that being an American is something to be proud of. Culturally speaking, people on the left take pride in thinking they're better than and need to reform America.
That's right.
It's different.
Totally different. And I mean, remember we talked about this a little bit. Was it around July 4th, Buck, when the New York Times reporter went out in Long Island and drove around and she said,
terrified,
oh my
about
God,
the
there
American,
were so many, yes, American flags.
Terrified.
There's a New York Times editorial,
yes,
board member.
Yes, terrified by all the American flags out there. You know, they just stopped short of, the American flag is a hate symbol in the,
yes,
hands of Trump supporters. And that was, I think, the pride in America was honestly one of the big factors in the rise of Donald Trump's, not just presidency, but really the political movement,
no doubt,
the MAGA movement, Make America Great Again. There are so many people who feel like, why is it that, every other country, and let's be honest, like there are other countries that have a lot less to be excited about than we do as a country. I mean, just, I know that,
yes,
might be controversial, but there are some places and other places, no one feels badly about loving where they're from as a country. It's a uniquely left-wing American thing to want to denigrate your own homeland, denigrate your own country of citizenship or birth, because you feel like it's fashionable. This is fashionable in New York. It's fashionable. At my Amherst College, they actually were flying a UN flag from the town square, which I always thought was just a United Nations flag. Is a town of like a couple thousand people. But if you're a leftist, if you're a commie, you think that's really cool.
Speaking of that Long Island story, we didn't talk a lot about this. First of all, the New Jersey Senate head, the Democrat, lost to the truck driver in New Jersey is great. But I was reading yesterday, Suffolk County on Long Island swung massively to Republicans. And Republicans won every race in Suffolk County. For people who are familiar with Long Island, maybe you're not listening out here. We talked about the impact in Seattle with the Republican winning there. Certainly the close race in the governor's office in New Jersey. All the things that happened in Virginia. But there was a red wave that even was rolling through Long Island and Nassau County, Suffolk County. They both just got swarmed with Republican voters.
I think people are also recognizing in parts of these blue states like New York, unfortunately for the state of New York, the some of the stuff that's in this Biden Build Back Better bill
it's
in
crazy.
Terms of the taxes. I just spoke to my accountant recently about this, and he says that for a lot of folks, you're going to be paying more than half of your income, a lot of
yes.
small business owners, to live in these blue states. I mean, you're looking at a 55% all-in tax rate if you're considered a high earner, which does not make you rich in a place like New York City. And there's going to be a continued flight out of these blue states. But in the suburbs where you have people who are dealing with this reality, because in New York, there's people dependent on the state and ultra rich, right? There's
yes.
not a lot of people.
Not a lot of middle in, class.
Not a lot of middle class, you know, families. Are making it here without substantial state assistance because it's so expensive. You go out in the burbs, you have more people that are swing voters.
Yes.
And they're swinging toward the Republicans because they're realizing this is madness, the tax increases that they're going to be facing and the government overreach that's already making things more difficult for all of us across the board.
Monster swings in Long Island that I think we needed to take note of there because it happened all over the country. And we're poised for even more of a dominant red wave in 2022. When we come back, we're going to go to the Lincoln Memorial, I believe, where they are memorializing so many different veterans out there. The Tunnel to Towers crew doing tremendous work here on Veterans Day. We're going to honor the veterans. I think you guys will enjoy it. We'll also keep you updated on Rittenhouse, the budget, everything else that's going on in today's news. Want to make sure you don't miss it. We're having a good time and hope you are as well.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.